following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Grief has many stages, but so does healing. I'm your host, DJ Bubblegum, exploring how to live life after loss. Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of No Map for This. Today we are going to be talking about the grief that is on a pause when someone first passes away and what that looks like over time as your body comes down out of the denial and out of the shock and out of that state of stress and actually realizes what's going on and how that grief differentiates. We're also going to talk about how I personally have handled the moments that have suddenly hit me. If it's a little girl walking down the street with her dad, or a song my dad used to play, or just something that I notice and it draws me right back to my dad. And sometimes it'll hit a little harder. Sometimes it'll remind me of something that I forgot about, and that makes me sad. So we're really gonna dive deep into those emotions today. I chose these two topics because it was my birthday a couple days ago and also the 1 year anniversary of losing my dad. When I first lost my dad, I thought, this can't get any worse. And on the outside, it couldn't. It was the worst nightmare ever. But on the inside, my body was full of so much shock. I truly couldn't even process what was happening. And so over the year, things have slowly come back to me. When our brain gets to like a level of kind of like overheating, it literally will just shut it off. It'll block it out of your memory. There's a lot of gruesome things that I watched when I lost my dad, I didn't remember, and I remembered later. And then there were also a lot of gruesome things that I did remember that I wish I didn't remember. Everyone's different, obviously, but when you experience a traumatizing situation, I think a lot of that emotion that I was feeling was just denial and shock, and like I was completely overwhelmed. So since then, I have worked a lot on being present. I know I've talked about this previously. When I am overwhelmed, the best thing for me to do is put my feet flat on the floor and literally just listen until I feel my feet are still, my hands are still, my body is still, and I can hear my own heartbeat. And that draws me back to my body, my presence. And then I can start dipping back into those emotions that I was feeling. And I feel like there's a very healthy way to do it and there's a very unhealthy way to do it. Before learning about somatic therapy, I would bawl my eyes out and then I would cut it off and I'd be like, okay, I gotta pull it together and now I gotta go do this. That is not the way that I look at things anymore. This lesson has taught me that I need to ask for help. And as I've said previously, it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay to tell people, hey, I'm not okay right now. And as we've talked about previously, it's okay if they're uncomfortable with that. Notice that, okay, this isn't somebody that I can look for and support. And I'm gonna have to find somebody else. And maybe you already have that person. But how I handled it, didn't realize that I was in a state of shock and denial for so long. I didn't realize that my grieving had been put on a pause because throughout the past year, I've still cried. I've hurt. There's days when I haven't gotten out of bed, but there's also the learning that I've found through this process in what is not getting up. Where is that going to get me? Why don't I just put on a pair of workout clothes and go sit outside? Just those little tiny steps of moving forward and noticing, realizing you have a choice, which we're going to talk a little bit more today. I want to relate it back to a book that I've been reading, Mindfully Green. But overall, I didn't know that I could pause my grief. I didn't know my brain could do that. And so when we reached the beginning of last week, and for the past month, I have really, really been stressed about this coming month, about March. It's really been on my mind the whole year, but especially since beginning of January. It has just been dwelling on me. And I have just been like, how am I going to effectively, you know, be able to celebrate my birthday? Because I know that's what my dad would have wanted. My dad was the number one person to celebrate my birthday. And so I know he would have wanted that, but at the same time, that wasn't something that I was ready for. On my birthday, I just really needed to be able to just have a normal day. So the next topic we're going to jump into, which coincides with this, is how to handle the random moments when it just hits you. And as I said, I knew that my birthday, the 1 year anniversary, that it was going to come fast and it was going to come hard, and my emotions were going to be very present. I began kind of thinking about what I wanted to do and how I wanted this time to look so that I could effectively allow room for all of the emotions that were beginning to arise in, you know, in January. That's when it kind of hit me. We are in the process of grieving. It took a while. But I had to set up these plans prior, and I had to talk to my friends and I had to talk to my family so that they could understand where I was coming from. Because the normal thing, the societal normal thing, is to celebrate on your birthday. I wanted an aspect of celebration, but I really wanted to be able to fully celebrate it beforehand and then just feel however I wanted to feel. And it was okay if I was happy, and it was okay if I was sad, but I just knew that I didn't have some fancy dinner or something that I had to go to celebrate with other people where I felt like I had to please anyone or stress myself out in any capacity. So I set up to spend my birthday 2 weeks prior in the city, and my best friend came up. She lives in a different area, and we really just spent the time celebrating. We had a great balance. We went out to dinner, we went did these beautiful walks along like the Golden Gate Bridge and stuff, and it was that perfect balance. And that right there is a significant example of a friend that I made that I knew that I could call on no matter what, and they would show up and we would have a great time. But I also knew that I would be able to say, hey, you know, I'm not up for this right now. I see a lot going on. I'm a little stressed. I think I just need to take a step back, and we could go back to the room. We could go on a walk, whatever it was. And just having that support system was so very important, and those are the kind of people I wanted to celebrate my birthday with. After that, one of my good friends wanted to do something as well, and she is just someone, both of them, they bring me so much peace and also help me learn so much more about myself and acknowledge the emotions that I don't like to acknowledge. To celebrate my birthday with her, we went to the beach, we grabbed a little dinner. We really just had a peaceful, blissful day. And then on my birthday, I went out to brunch with some family. I had class, and I went to the gym and I rested. And that was the perfect day to me. And everyone kept saying, well, aren't you going to go out on your birthday? Aren't you going to go to dinner on your birthday? Da, 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 da. Well, number one, I had already gone out to dinner, so I didn't really care about that. And all I really wanted was to spend time with the people I love. And that's what I got to do. That's what my dad taught me. Celebrations, it's always centered around love and family and friends and who you celebrate it with. And that is something that I hold very close to my heart. I think gathering is very important. Celebration is very important. And that is also why it's been so hard for me to be able to gather and celebrate myself, because my dad is the one who taught me how to do that. I was not aware by any means the feelings that I was going to feel, especially over the past weekend. Now, as we've talked about previously, I was the only one there when I lost my dad. I never thought for the rest of my life that I would have a harder moment than that exact moment. And I think it was harder this year, but in a very different way. Last year, it was hard on the outside. I was overwhelmed watching what was going on, having to do CPR and all of the things that I was doing. It was so overwhelming. And this year, it was just like hurt and sadness, and it felt like I was dragging 1,000 pounds of bricks with different emotions in them. Went up to my grandma's house, my dad's mom, and she lives somewhere where it's very peaceful and very quiet. And so I sat up there and I really just engaged and in tuned with the feelings that I was having. I went through a lot of pictures. I listened to a lot of music that my dad and I liked. But I also just like laid in bed and cried and talked to my dad. And it feels like that 1,000-pound emotional brickage bag, whatever you want to call it, it's not gone, but it's lighter. And it's lighter because I noticed those emotions. And I put a platter down and I said, here you go. Here is a place for all those emotions to go. And we're just going to look at them. And we're going to watch them, or we're going to let them sit there. And it's so uncomfortable. It is not comfortable at all to do that. It is how I have been able to move forward effectively and slowly begin to live my life again. Because I'm 19, I have a lot of life left to live, but at the same time, this felt like the end. This is something that many people go through when you're much later on in your life. And I know a lot of people who have lost their parents young too. I know God has surrounded me with those people so that they feel supported, I feel supported. We can overall support each other in that space of hurt. So I want to refer back to what I was talking about earlier about that book, Mindfully Green. It's a personal and spiritual guide to whole earth thinking. And it's really talking about climate change and that kind of thing on a surface level, but really talking about the deep values of who you are underneath and how we can work with those to create a life's path, a green path, if you will. This quote really stood out to me. It says, if we take a deep view based in every flowing chi, we may be more likely to find root causes. We're also far more likely to see ourselves as real players in a whole story, players whose habitual actions generate significant consequences. I look at this quote and I see so much of my grief and the experience that I've had. Over the past year, as I've talked about throughout this podcast, really being present, putting my feet on the ground, breathing, feeling my heartbeat, getting back to that flowing chi, and being able to bring myself back to a space of presence so I can notice that flowing chi and be able to find those root causes. Now, no matter if it's in the actions you're doing for global warming, the actions you're doing for your grief, I believe this really much aligns. And it says, we are more likely to see ourselves as real players. Taking this time, breathing, being present with myself, I've been able to take a step back and really see the full picture and the whole story, which has allowed me to see negative habitual actions that I have that have created significant consequences for my present. Also, actions that I've noticed in the beginning, you know, I was just like, I'm in shock and I'm in denial and I don't know what to do. And so through that, I said, okay, I'm going to start reading. I'm going to start meditating more. I'm going to start praying more. These are things that will ground me, that will help me simplify those consequences that I'm having so deeply currently. I hope that this quote opened up your mind a little bit into a deeper view of maybe what you're personally experiencing right now, and that might relate to you. And I think that was a great note to end it on. I hope you guys listen in again next week.